Sunday morning. This is 4/14/24. I had to look at the date to make sure. Time's passing by so fast. I'm going to do what this one was going to be second, but I think it's going to be first today based on I spent some hours praying yesterday about certain things, and I didn't really get anything until this morning when I sat down to before the TV program came on. The Lord began to speak to me. And so sometimes the Lord just needs us to get our attention back on what's you know, the right thing to have our attention on and off of the things that don't need to be taking our attention. All right. Serving God, this is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. Serving God is serving others. All right. Serving God is serving others. This is what the Lord said. Wait till we got all eyes on me. I even had to say, Lord, you're right. I had to say, you're right. I'm looking for those that will serve others. What's the name of the guy that said you're just going to have to serve somebody?
Bob Dylan.
I cannot use those that only serve themselves. Now think about that. I am your example. I lay down my life for others. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for a friend. For too many are self-serving. Many go about seeing to themselves and give no thought to others. Their neighbor. Who is their neighbor? All right, we're going to look at who our neighbor is. Luke chapter 10. This is Luke 10, 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? He answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. Jesus took care of his neighbor before himself. Who's his neighbor? We're his neighbor. All of us, we're his neighbor. All right. They are so busy seeing to themselves that they never pay attention to anyone else. They are self-absorbed in getting their answers, getting their things that they need. They don't think about anybody else. Ain't nobody else on the table. Nobody else can be on the table. Totally self-absorbed. All right, let's go to Luke 12. 13. And I'm talking to all of us today, and anybody that is under the sound of this tape later, this message later. I had to say, Lord, you're right. I thought, We say we're people of faith. Are we really? We moan and groan about the answers we don't see. As if God has not heard and he has not answered. What are you basing it on? What God's word says, or by what you see? You want to be used of God? You're going to have to get yourself off your mind. You know, in Acts there before Jesus went back, well, when he went back, they're standing there. Angel said, what are you standing here looking up for? He told you to go in and get endued with power. Get to work. Get to it. Why do you stand up here gazing? Isn't that what's happening today in the church? Oh, Jesus is going to come, but the whole world's going to hell. Who cares? As long as I make it, right? Don't mean to be crass, but I want to drive this point home today because we work for him. All right, he's already said in his word what he'll do for us. You know, when Jesus would be walking, you know, somebody come up to him like the 10 lepers, you know. He'd tell them, go show yourself to the priest. Did they have any evidence? No. As they went, got themselves off their mind. As they went, what happened? It manifested. We can toil and spin about what God hasn't done or doesn't seem so. But the Lord said to me, that's a very selfish person to think that way because I have made it good with my word that I said that I've done it. Whether you see it or not is immaterial. We were to go occupy, just like the angel told the disciples, go occupy. What does that mean? Go do business. You want to know what the number one killer is today in the world? Self-pity. You know, people get themselves on their mind, especially people that retire. And I'm not trying to pick anybody out. I'm just talking about this is the system. They get you where you're not mobile anymore, you're not doing anything anymore, and you just get to feeling sorry for yourself, and you just get to sitting and you don't do anything. And what happens? You get old in your mind. You know what? They want you that way because then they can steal your Social Security. Let's just face the truth about the matter. I have a book by Gloria Copeland, and I recommend everyone read it because she talks about that. She talks about people in our last few hundred years that lived to be 150 or 145, something like that. Why? They got up and they did. They're up and about the master's business, whatever that may entail. Moving and doing, worst thing you can do is just sit and brood. All right. 12. Did I just read that? No, I haven't. All right. Luke 12. Did I read that yet? All right. Luke 12, 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. All about money, isn't it? Sitting around just thinking about our money or lack of. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Then he goes on to say, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. How many thoughts are we supposed to take for our life? None. What ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, which taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which thing is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies of the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what's he saying to us? He's got something for all of us to do, and that's to be the focal point of our lives. Not whether we think we got an answer to prayer or not. We're to ask him and then take him at his word. You know what an insult that is? To act like that you don't believe God? To act like he hasn't answered? I know how it feels to me when I teach y'all and I feel like they're not getting it, Lord. It makes me sad. Well, the Father looks at us at the same way. He wants us to take him at his word and then go be about the business. You know what? The Lord said this many times, and y'all have heard it many times. You take care of my business, I'll take care of you, yours. Seek ye first, seek ye first, seek ye first. Not sitting around worrying about what you worry about. Understand? We lapse into that. And being inactive, I don't feel like it. Well, what? Since when did we do anything by how we feel? You just got to get yourself up and talk to yourself and say, we're going out there, we're cleaning up that mess, or we're going to do what we need to do. We're not going to sit in this house all day and fret about what we are not thinking we're seeing. All right? You want to live, don't you? Not die? That's what all this is about. This is training, y'all. This is about seeking the kingdom first. The church today is in the mess it's in. It's because they're like the baby birds in the nest with their mouth open. Then when they don't get it, when they think they ought to get it, they get mad at God. And they start, he never answers prayer. He doesn't do what he says. Oh God, help those words never come out of our mouth. His blessings are all around us if we will just look. You know, it's a matter of changing your attitude. Right? It's never as bad as you think. But if somebody can raise your thinking, you have a whole new outlook on life. And that's the way the Lord wants us to have that good attitude. All right. Serving God is serving others. Seeking first the kingdom of God and not giving a thought about yourself is sowing to righteousness. The kingdom of God does not work like the world system. It goes against the grain. It's all about sowing and reaping. And I am always about people, helping people. What did Jesus do when he was here? He went about doing good and hitting all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Well, he's with you too, as his representative. I'm not telling you to make stuff up and just go do stuff. I'm saying listen to the Holy Spirit, and if he doesn't lead you that day, but you're at least you're open. You're looking for a hook. The kingdom of God does not work like the world system. It goes against the grain. It is all about sowing and reaping. Now, and I am always about people helping people. Holding on is not the answer, but sowing. The greatest investment there is. You know, when these people talk about you need to be, you know, do your 401k and all this, you know, they talk about it. They beat it into the ground. The Lord's not said one thing except the best investment you can make is in the kingdom of God. I thought I'd have to get a hold of them and tell them this. Quit scaring people. Quit making people feel like they're going to lose everything they got if they don't listen to what you say. Well, you're wrong. You know, even gold and silver can be corrupted. But what you've done for God and what's in your heavenly account can't be touched. No moth or rust can devour it. All right, the greatest investment there is and one that will not be touched by inflation is serving others in whatever capacity I lead you in. Stop thinking so much about yourself and what you're going through and so that wasted energy, and so that's just waste that energy into others is what he said. I said wasting that energy on worrying and fretting about you ain't getting your answers or whatever the case may be. Invest it in others. Because I'm telling you, especially these young people that work at all these fast food places, they are struggling. I was talking to somebody today. They have their son passed away, and so there's a girl left with two grandbabies. And she's trying to get an apartment. And it's just astronomical how much money they want them to put up front just to be able to get into the thing. And the burden's falling on this person, and she doesn't have the money. And it's just, I said, don't worry about it. I said, y'all get an agreement. You're both Christians. Get an agreement and ask God. Agree that God will supply. Don't fret about it. She, in fact, I had to tell her for the first time ever in all these years, many years, I've been going to her for like 9 or 10 years, she was so preoccupied with this worry and this care, she didn't even know what she was doing. I had to tell her, you need to do this. She said, I'm sorry, I'm not talking today. My mind's just going 100 miles an hour trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. Take all that energy, taking thought for yourself that keeps you weary. I had this yesterday morning. I didn't just drum this up today, okay? What I'm bringing, Lord knows. Sometimes I wonder, why are we touching on this? Take all that energy, taking thought for yourself that keeps you weary and sow it to me. That is sowing it into others. Since when is it about doing what you want to do? Didn't you sign on to obey me and do what I instruct? When did it become just about you? I thought, wow, hadn't realized how much self-focus there is. I thought I had carte blanche with you. Serving others is often doing things that you do not want to do. But when you obey, you will be blessed for doing so. This has been all about changing your attitude for the better. How you treat others is paramount to me. Okay, Matthew 10. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. God's watching. If he sees the sparrow that falls, he sees everything that's going on with you. You know, sometimes no news is good news. Sometimes the Lord doesn't speak anything and you think, what's going on here? And I thought, well, I guess he doesn't seem that it's a big deal. Must not be a big deal if he's not saying anything to me about it, right? This is Jesus here. Before I gave up my life for others, I asked the Father if I could let this cup pass by. I was in such duress that I didn't think I would be able to do it. This is Luke chapter 22. We forget that Jesus walked it out like we walk it out. Verse 39 says, "And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation." What is a temptation? It's when you get weak in your mind. This is what I'm talking about here. You get old in your mind. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, and he come to his disciples, he found them asleep for sorrow. And said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." There's times that I feel like I hear so much, "Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me." I'm thinking, "Dear God, pray for me." Like Brother Hagin used to say, they wanted me to pray for him, and he said, I needed to be having them pray for me. I felt like, you know, I'm laying something empty on empty head, empty hands on empty heads. It's not about what you feel, because your strength and power doesn't come from yourself. It comes from God. "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Do you believe it today? Do you get mad if it doesn't come within your time frame? All right. Right here. I remember Brother Hagin saying in one of his books that he always weighed before he spoke. He said he would think, "How is what I'm about to say going to affect the other person?" Once words are said, you can't get them back. Sometimes all God is asking us to do is to be kind. Kindness goes a long way. This is Ephesians chapter 4 here. In other words, the Lord's saying, get that saggy, baggy attitude off of you and get up and be about my business. We're in training right now, but there'll be a moment where he says you're released and you're going to have to be able to get up and start moving, not wait until. No, you're practicing now, right? You're practicing now. All right, Ephesians 4:29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Yeah, that's what he did. The Lord says here, I'm not asking you to die for anyone, but to live. Living sacrifice. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. You're a living sacrifice. You have agreed to get up on that altar. Your life is no longer your own. Like it or not, this is the way it is. All right, we're going to look at the life of Joseph. Right here, Joseph had already been in prison for 12 years the day he got the call. He still had a good attitude, and he did what he could to be kind and serve others, the baker and the butler. It was this character that God saw that got Joseph from the prison, which was his training ground, to the palace. All that he went through, God oversaw it all. God was with him. There's several places it says, but God was with him. I've told the Lord myself that he sure put me in a lovely prison. But it is a prison nonetheless. It's been our training place. That prison was Joseph's training place. But promotion's coming. The Lord said to treat others the way you want to be treated. That's kind of the golden rule. Do unto others as you have others do unto you. Not treat others the way they treat you. I'm not going to read Joseph today because I have a lot to bring today, but you know the story. Go read it. Go read about his attitude.